Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers, and we're here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. We started this podcast to cover what we wish we'd known when we were getting started so that you all can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. So I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features.
I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
And I'm Hannah Rosner, and I also mostly write for television. And speaking of television, today, this is going to be our third part of our series about fellowships. And this one is going to be the one where Erica asks us all about the fellowships.
Yeah, like, what's a fellowship, guys? Like, I always hear people talking about, like, I'm applying for fellowships. It's so hard. It's so many things, right? And then if they get in, it's like, you're in a cult now, you know? It's like silence. Like, what do you actually do? So let's say, you know, that our listeners are lucky enough to be in the same boat as you two. And it's like, congratulations, you got a fellowship. Now what? What's the program structure? How does it work? How much time does it take? How do you meet? How often do you meet? What do you talk about? What do you do? Please tell me all the secrets.
It's kind of like a class. So think of it like a workshop intensive. They're usually multiple weeks. Sometimes you meet once a week. Sometimes you meet during the day, all week long. I think Disney is like that. You actually, it's basically like your job. And I think you even get paid for the Disney one. Like, you get enough of a living stipend that you can not work otherwise while you're in the program. So that's exciting. But yeah, for the most part, speakers are coming to speak to your class about their particular specialty, whether that's a showrunner or a writer or an executive. Sometimes you get practice pitching with your fellow classmates, with your instructors. They're all different, but the Warner Brothers program, really, we learned a lot about how a writer's room works and how to work in a writer's room.
In the CBS program, so the program started in October, and then it went all the way up until staffing season of next year. So around, I would say, March, April, around that time. For the first half of the program, we did not meet as a group. I did not meet any of the other people who were in the program, but I was assigned two mentors who worked for CBS. The mentors were all execs, either in current or development. For the first half of that program, every writer was supposed to develop a pilot with their executives, showing us this is what the development process is going to be like. So it was our job to write a pilot, and then they would give us notes during the process. That lasted until January. And then in January, we would all start meeting as a group. We would only meet one day a week, and we would meet for like 3 hours at a time. And they would give us dinner, which was always a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's nice. We got free dinner
free
too.
Dinner. Best part.
Free dinner is great. So yeah, we would come in, we'd make up these big plates of food. And then for the first half of the meeting, we would sort of work on our personal anecdotes, because the CBS program for the second half was a lot less interested in honing our writing abilities. Their main focus was getting us ready for all the rest of it, because this is something I did not know until I started working. But writing is really only 50% of the job. And the other 50% is very social, weirdly social.
Too social sometimes.
Too social. Taking general meetings, taking showrunner meetings, and then, of course, being in a writer's room and networking. And all of that basically involves you talking about yourself. I mean, talking about yourself until you're sick of talking about yourself. But talking about yourself in a way that is intriguing and interesting to the other person without sounding like an arrogant asshole. And so for the CBS program, they helped us shape what we called our nuggets, which are basically two or three very short stories that we could tell that were super amusing and super interesting and sort of encapsulated us. And we could pull that out during any meeting.
That's really interesting. I just want to ask about that real quick, because that's also sort of like something that you do to get into the program. If you're preparing for that next round where they read both your scripts, they liked it, and you made it to the interview stage, you have to be ready to talk about yourself and tell a personal anecdote, and you have to have your nuggets. Like, that's not a requirement. That's just something that generally you should do before you go to your interview. So it's interesting that that was such a big part of the curriculum.
It was huge. I think people who are good at this already, they have a straight shot from the interview into the program. I was not good at it. And I think a lot of people in my program, some people were better than others. But yeah, we spent that time to really hone those stories. And what I realized later was it wasn't about the specific story. It was about learning how to look at your life and turn anything into a story that you could whip out at any time for any interview with any person. Because one personal anecdote, one nugget that might work with one interview is not going to work with another interview, depending on the job. But it's about learning how to think on your feet and learning what does the audience need to hear from me in this moment for me to land the job. So we spent a lot of time doing that. And then the second half of those 3-hour meetings was always a guest speaker. So it was an exec who worked at CBS, or it was a showrunner most often who had done a CBS show, or it was like a number two or number three, or sometimes it was like a staff writer or an executive story editor, someone who had just broken in. And everyone could give us insight into their experiences at different levels of the business. And usually when it was an upper level writer, like or a showrunner or an executive, the last hour of the meeting would be devoted to mock interviews. And so the showrunner would sit at one end of the room with one of the writers, and everyone else would sit at the back of the room and watch as the showrunner conducted an interview with that writer.
Oh, wow.
That sounds so unbearably terrifying, but man, is that going to help you when you have to do it for real?
Seriously.
Oh, yeah, it was awful for the first couple. The first interview was with the president of CBS Television.
Oh, so
no pressure.
Our very first interview, I almost started crying during that thing. Because he, first of all, was like, look, I'm going to try to throw you guys off. He deliberately tried to. With one person, he refused to stay on topic. Another person, he was obsessed with their shoes. And with me, he just kept trying to make me talk shit about people.
Wow.
Ooh.
This all happens. Every single one of those situations he put us in has happened to me in an actual interview. So I was glad to have the mock interview experience first. But it was very intense.
Do you wear like really boring shoes just in case?
Yeah, I kind of do. I try to look nice, but I don't want to go crazy because then that'll pull focus. After doing a mock interview every week for something like 4 months, it was no big deal to walk into an interview after that, really.
That's awesome. I think one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you guys about this is that I think the focus on fellowships is getting in. This is something about writing in general that I really want people to understand, is that there is always another level. Sometimes all these things are recognizing is your potential. You know, like, Jess, I know that you feel like you didn't come across the way you wanted to in your interview, and like, that's fine, but they saw the potential in you that like, this is someone who we can teach, right? As opposed to someone we cannot teach because they're awful or because they are resistant or whatever. You know, fellowship is like, you've done all this stuff, you've crafted your sample as best you can with the knowledge and resources you have. And now here you are, and it's your job to rise, you know, a level or two or three into, you know, so much more professional, so much more skilled as a writer and as an employee.
It is incredibly valuable, the kinds of things you learn, because absolutely what Jess said is true. Half of the job is about the writing and the writer's room experience. There's so much to it. You don't know what you don't know until you go through a program like this. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to have to be able to talk about myself in showrunner meetings. I'm going to have to pitch in a room. We did this workshop one day. We had a lot of guest speakers as well. So a lot of the stuff that you were talking about, Jess, applies to the Warner Brothers program as well. But just a quick aside, we had one day where we did like a mock writer's room. We had a fake show that the showrunner, who was a real showrunner who was leading the class that day, he gave us a prompt. We need an arc for these two fictional characters. And then you had to go home and come up with like 10 pitches for the room or however many. And then you came in and you're like, all right, I got all these great ideas. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to blow everyone away with my pitches. And somebody would pitch something else first and the room would go in a completely different direction and you would never even get to your pitches. And that is pretty much every day in a writer's room. It's like you do all these hours of homework. You come in, you're all excited, you're ready to pitch. Maybe you do, but then it just goes completely off the rails and you just have to like roll with it because that's the job. And so that was an incredibly valuable day. I mean, they all were, but that one really sticks out.
That's really cool that you guys got that experience of like, what is it really like to be in a writer's room, which is this beast that grows and changes all the time? Because there is no way to really experience that without a showrunner teaching you.
The Warner Brothers program, it was like, I think we also started in around September or October, and we went until early March. By that time, like once we were in February, March zone, was when a lot of the classes were really focusing on prepping for showrunner meetings and interviews. And the great thing about the Warner Brothers program is they have so many connections to so many of the showrunners and executives that work on WB shows, WB TV shows. like they will submit you. It is absolutely in no way a guarantee that you will get staffed or that you will even get a meeting on the shows that they are submitting you for.
I feel like you should repeat that. That is really important.
So many people have this notion that, especially particularly of the Warner Brothers program, that, oh, well, they have this great track record. And they do. They have an amazing track record. But that's because of the hard work of the instructors who have taught us. That's because of the guest speakers that we had. And that's a tribute to the hard work of the writers themselves that come out of the program. It's no way a guarantee. And it's sometimes it's also just like luck of the draw. You might have a season where no new comedies get picked up. And therefore, the pool of available jobs on comedy shows, if you're a comedy writer, is that much smaller at the studio.
The same thing with the CBS program. My year was lucky. We got 50% staffed off the bat. But the year after that, I don't know how many people got in. And the year before, I think it was also a little bit under that. Anyone who wants to apply to these fellowships, you're going to get a wealth of experience and information that you couldn't get anywhere else. And so just for that reason alone, it's worth applying. And if you really apply yourself, I think the people who work with you at that program and the other writers you meet, that is an invaluable networking experience. Because maybe you don't get staffed, but someone else in your program gets staffed. And now you know a staff writer.
And you are going to do a lot of networking, and it's going to open a lot of doors and help you have access to more connections. But also maintain your own network and don't let those drop off. I know how easy it can be. For me, I was in the program and I was working a full-time job. So it was really hard to have any time to do anything else other than write and work and do stuff for the program. But you still have to keep nurturing those other connections that you have because, you know, it might not work out. You might not get staffed and you might have to fall back on something else.
Well, this takes us into what I wanted to ask you guys next. How can you get the most out of this fellowship, right? Like what are things that you guys felt like you did that took you to that success and things that you've seen other people who do the fellowship do that like took it that extra step once you were done?
One thing that I made sure to do, and this is a habit I got into in college when I would have speakers come talk to my film school classes, is send a thank you email to everyone, like try to get their contact info from your instructor, or if you can like talk them up during dinner break. If the speaker comes in, and then before they go, you pull them aside and you chit chat. Or if you have a full day speaker, like somebody who's going to be there for the whole 3 hours, like when we had that showrunner for our fake pitch room, fake writer's room, we'd have like a 15 minute break, like chat them up and say, oh, the show that you work on, I love that show, and talk about why. Don't just say you love it, like have a specific thing. And then, but you know, people love praise and then they'll remember you. And then that's more likely where if you send them a thank you note and say, hey, really appreciated all this advice, particularly this, you know, again, specificity helps. This thing that you said about how you do your origin story is really giving me some good ideas for how I can, you know, approach mine. And so thank you for all of your advice and thank you for your time. And that way you can keep in touch with them. That's one thing I would say is the best way to get the most out of it is to keep in touch with obviously your fellow workshoppers. Like I'm super tight with all of my fellow workshoppers. We're in like a text chain that 3 years later to this day, we always have like inside jokes or we'll celebrate each other's accomplishments or we'll get together. So that's a huge network to have because you're going to know people on other shows now, but also keep in touch with the instructors, keep in touch with the guest speakers, and just keep nurturing that network that you're growing and expanding.
I'd also say sort of more just a global note, which is take it seriously and do the work. People sometimes have or can rest on their laurels and be like, oh, I got in, I don't need to do anything else. Once you get in, if you're willing to put in a ton of work and effort, the mentors see it, the execs see it, and they will pay that forward. So this is also really good preparation for when you actually do land that staffing job, which is once you get that staffing job, you cannot rest on your laurels at all. You have to constantly prove every day that you deserve to be there and that they were right to take a chance on you if you want to get hired back next season or get into your next job. And so I think the fellowships are really good for cultivating a mindset of constantly hustling, constantly putting in the work so that you can get to the next step and the next step after that.
I agree. Just because you got into a program does not mean, okay, you've made it now. Like by no means. That just means the work has just begun of the next level. Also, speaking of mentors, we also have mentors in the Warner Brothers workshop, and all three of mine were unbelievable. I had a writing mentor who was in the program before me. And so she was another writer that had more experience than me and would read my stuff and give me feedback. And we would meet for coffee and she would just give me general industry advice for sort of from her level, which was right above my level. And then I had a writing mentor who, Maddie Horn, bless her heart, at Warner Brothers. She is now retired, but she is an absolute angel. She was so wonderful and encouraging. And so between my writing mentor and my exec mentor, I had just fantastic experience and mentorship and advice from them that I use to this day. But like you said, Jess, they see that when you're working hard and you're putting everything into it. In our program, we had to write a spec during, I think, the first half of the program. So like October through December, we were working on our specs. And then January, February, we started like pitching our pilot ideas and we wrote a new pilot, and that sort of carried into staffing season, you know, because you want to have a full pilot by the time staffing season starts. And sometimes interviews start in February. So it's a good idea if you get into a program to start thinking about your pilot as early as possible. The specs that we wrote, honestly, I think a lot of people, myself included, at various points were like, why are we writing another spec? Like, no one's going to read a spec. No showrunner is going to read it. They're going to read our pilots. And that may be true. It is an exercise. And that does not mean that you should half-ass it. Put your all into it and treat it as if it is, again, another writing sample or a script assignment, because they're paying attention to who's putting the work in and who's like really polishing their specs and treating them as if they are a paid writing assignment, because that was a really challenging thing for us. We would, and I think, you know, they were sometimes trying to throw us off or giving us incredibly unreasonable deadlines. And again, the reason for that is because that's what the real world is like. And sometimes you will get notes from the studio at midnight on Christmas Eve and have to turn them around by the next morning or something. Like, these things happen in the real world. And so they'll, you know, give you pretty intense deadlines or really tough notes, sometimes totally warranted, sometimes just to challenge you. Either way, treat it like, okay, I'm going to meet this challenge head on and I'm going to totally write the best spec script ever or the best beat sheet or the best story area. I'm going to blow it out of the water and just apply that attitude to every single thing that you do in the program to get the most out of it.
What the fellowship really tries to do is put you into the mentality of, this is your job now. You know, this is your job. This is what it's going to be like. So if you don't like certain aspects of it, like the crazy hours, like getting those notes on Christmas Eve and having to turn around a script by Christmas Day, then maybe this isn't the right career path for you. And that is totally okay. But it's just good to know what you're going to get into.
That's really great advice. I guess on the flip side, are there any like cautionary tales, things you would specifically advise against? Like, don't do this in your fellowship program.
Well, don't be a dick.
That yeah. would
be number don't be one a dick. Always like timeless advice.
What I think my year at my program did really well was we kind of banded together with the team mentality. You know, Hannah, you talked about it, like you're still in a text chain with those people. It's like this feeling of we're all in this together. And if we can all help each other succeed, then we should. And we should all celebrate each other's successes. I know of another program where it was very much every man or woman for themselves. And I think that was a bit more of a toxic atmosphere. So I think if you go into it with a open mind and open heart. What is that from?
Totally. You're a team and your fellows are, you know, hopefully going to be your friends for life and people that'll help, you know, maybe they'll hire you someday. Maybe you'll hire them someday. Maybe you'll co-run a show together someday. And so treat them really well. And also, this is just like, don't be a dick. This is also advice that applies to life as well as this specifically, but don't shit talk. It may be tempting to join in if your fellow workshoppers are like, oh man, my mentor is doing this, or the instructor is really understand that everybody involved with the program has your best interests at heart. So don't be talking bad about them in showrunner meetings or staffing meetings or talking bad about your program. It's not a good look, and it's very disrespectful for somebody that has invested all this time and effort in you.
The Hollywood rumor mill is alive and thriving. And so a rumor that gets started at the beginning of your career can definitely circle back when you think you've made it. So just be careful.
Very good advice. I guess my last question for you guys is kind of, you know, what happens after the fellowship. We've discussed a little bit the value of the fellowship. Obviously, you guys have both said that you got staffed right out of it. That doesn't always happen. But like, so you've done your fellowship, right? Now what?
Well, every fellowship is different. Some fellowships, they end and they wave goodbye, like a parent that is sending their child off to kindergarten, except that parent is never coming to pick them up from kindergarten. They're on their own forever.
Dark.
Warner Brothers was not like that. The intention the entire time was to prepare us to staff on a Warner Brothers show, which was amazing because once staffing season came around, they were like, okay, send us your sample, send us your bio, have everything ready, have your portfolio ready to go, and also like have a list of shows that you're interested in. They pretty much told us to go up for any show that was interested in us. So like they would submit us to everybody or at least have like a list of shows that we're staffing and we're looking to hire staff writers. And so they would say, are you interested in this show? And do your homework, do your research. And like, if you really don't think it's a good fit, then don't even take the meeting because the last thing you want is to go in and realize that it's really not a good fit. But then they're like, oh, well, you wasted my time. That said, again, the instructors are going to be like, take every meeting because it's good practice. And while that can be true, it's still a good idea to do your research.
If you go through one of these broadcast fellowships, if that fellowship can get you staffed your first year out, then your first year on that show is paid for by the program, which means that the show does not have to dip into its own writer's budget to pay you. And that is basically an incentive.
Big incentive.
Yeah, huge incentive for the show to hire fellowship writers. Now, this leads to problems later on when in the second season, that writer is no longer free. And a lot of shows choose not to renew the contract or to hire these fellowship writers again because they're no longer free. And so there's a problem with the drop-off between people who get staffed right out of the fellowship and then people who manage to get a second job after that. There's a pretty big drop off.
Yeah, this is a pretty systemic issue because especially because a lot of the fellowships are focused on diversity. And this leads to this awful thing where showrunners hire a diverse writer that they get for free. And then as soon as that writer's not free, they're like, I'll just get a different diverse writer, which really says a lot about how much the showrunner values a person's point of view. It's definitely something probably worth looking into if you're interviewing for one of these shows after a fellowship of like, well, if this show has been running for 5 years, you know, like how many diverse writers have they retained?
Yeah. And also the other thing is because you're free your first season, if they do want to keep you on for a second season, they may make you repeat staff writer. And that really does come down to money. A lot of times it's not based on your merit or how good of a writer you are or how many scripts you wrote last season. The studio might simply say, well, we don't have to pay you story editor rate, so we're not going to. And you are under contract, so you can't really say, I mean, you can, but you probably won't say no. So it happens a lot.
It's a wide range of experiences for everybody. But just to be prepared, you know, if you're a diverse writer or someone from an underrepresented group, you come out of this program, don't expect everyone to look at it in the same positive way that you looked at it.
Do you guys feel like having gone through the fellowship, you know, it gives you a certain level of cred, for lack of a better term?
I don't know if cred is the right word, but I would say that I would not be here, absolutely would not be here, if it weren't for that program. That program jump-started my career in a way that I don't think anything else could have done because again, I came to Hollywood and I didn't know anybody and I had no connections or anything like that. I'm very, very grateful to that program.
I feel the same way. And I think it must have given me some cred because once I got into the program, some, you know, reps came out of the woodwork and were interested in meeting with me. And even though I hadn't even started the program or gotten staffed yet, I got agent meetings just based on the fact that, well, I think it was partially because I was on the Young and Hungry list that year and it happened around the same time. And then it was like, got on that, left my job. I started working on a Netflix show. I got my first writer's room job and I got in the program all at the same time. So I think those three things converging sort of got me a little bit of credibility enough that some agents were interested in meeting with me. So definitely helped.
Well, very cool. Thank you for demystifying this mysterious thing that is very cool, but not without its own pitfalls, which is always good to know.
Well, thank you all for listening. Please, of course, follow us on Twitter. And if you have any questions, if there's something we did not cover about fellowships or anything else that you want to know about, our Twitter handle is @untitledfemale. So you can connect with us there, or you can email us at Untitled Female Driven Podcasts and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about in future episodes. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It would mean so much to us. Good luck if you're going out for fellowships. Wish you the best.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.